We've been busy with our loyalty series. It's the beginning of this year. But before I share more about that, I just want to remind you guys, you've probably seen the men's camp save the date. Next week we'll have more information about that on the 3rd to the 5th of March. Please don't miss out on that weekend. This year is going to be a bit earlier. Normally it's in June this year. We thought we'll just move that a little bit earlier. So we might have rain, green grass, especially when you live here in the desert. You want to go to that side of the country just to see that there's still hope and that the rain still falls out there. So book out that weekend for our men's camp. If you struggle, if there's any reason that you cannot make it safe, for instance, for financial reasons, that should never be in this church a reason that you cannot go. Okay, that should be your last option. And when that's your last option, you come to us and you talk. You bring it to me. I'll get the money somewhere. But money is not the issue. Okay, that shouldn't be your motivation or the reason you can't attend. Okay, so, but then also on the 12th of February, is that a Sunday? I didn't check it again. Is that a Sunday? 12th? Yeah. Okay, great. The 12th of February will be on the announcements next week. So I'll just give you a heads up. It's a big Sunday for us. That Sunday we will introduce to you or launch our building project for our new church building. So we've been preparing behind the scenes. We've got the architect plans. We're doing the 3D at the moment, all of that. So we want to do a presentation to all of you. So please book it out. We'll probably give you the details next week, but assume it would be one service for 9 o'clock. Okay, not a normal service. Yes, Carol. It just means you'll have to be earlier. Some of you will have to sit in the mother's room. Some will have to sit in the coffee lounge. And some will have to stand if you're late for church. But that's fine. I won't keep you here too long. We'll do something special just to present to you our plans and what we see. And just to get everybody on the same page. So don't forget about that. And then the Sunday before that, we've got our Sunday that Nadia just mentioned that we're launching our theme for this year. So what it boils down to is don't miss church. So I just give you a couple of dates, important dates there. But like I said, we've been busy with our loyalty series. And just see if I got some volunteers here. Where's they gone now? I wanted to use Molin and Linda Marie, but they've gone. But we have a couple that's getting married soon. So I'm going to use them as an example. Ron and Donna's daughter and their husband-to-be or the son-to-be. They're getting married soon, but we were talking about loyalty, and if I wouldn't put them on the spot and call them to the front this morning, but you can think about yourself this morning, you and your wife or your husband. Yeah, and we were sharing some thoughts. Carl last week shared about, or the theme about getting married. It's time to get married, okay? All the single men and women, listen to this. But we were speaking prophetically and spiritually about this, about the loyalty. And I've found in life, in general, that when you say you're loyal, it means different things for different people. Being loyal doesn't mean the same for me as for you. And it's probably a valid point, but let's just stand still for a moment in terms of Christianity, in terms of the Bible, and ask ourselves a couple of questions this morning. What does it mean to be loyal? Especially in the beginning of this year, as we, you know, I find in the beginning of the year, we have so many good intentions. This year I want to do this, and I want to sort out certain things. I want to sort out my relationship with the Lord. I know I'm not at the right place, and I get onto the scale, and then I realize, whew, I had to sort out other stuff as well after Christmas, and then church attendance, that rises as much as the gym attendance rises at the beginning of the year as well. So everybody's got good intentions to sort out a lot of stuff, and maybe it's a good time to talk about loyalty. Maybe I'm considering becoming more loyal to Christ, or loyal to the church, or loyal to my yearning, I'm seeking and I'm yearning for a deeper relationship with God. So what does it mean to be loyal? And I thought, let's just go back to the word. Let's just have a look at what the Bible says about loyalty. So this morning, as I lay a foundation, I'm going to play with the number 3. So you'll notice that over the through the course of this sermon. But I actually went like an eagle, and I flew, I always want to say, through the pages of the Bible and just comparing all the aspects and the things that standing out of the people that we would say or point out or identify as loyal men and women of God. What are those characteristics or components of a person that is loyal unto the Lord? And the first one, and you can stop me at any given time and just raise your hand and say, Yaku, you're talking nonsense, I don't agree with you, and then I have a problem because then I'll have to change my sermon. But not that easy. I've got the mic so I can continue. But we can have a coffee afterwards, okay? Let's put it that way. The first thing I discovered, and I'll use the couple there that's getting married, or you and your husband, if you say to your husband or to your wife, I'm loyal to you. There's one thing I find in the Bible, and I also find it as a common denominator in all relationships. It means I am dedicated to you. Dedication. There's a commitment, in other words. There's a commitment to you. You cannot say you are loyal and you're not committed to that person. Would you agree with me this morning? The two goes hand in hand. We actually can say loyalty equals commitment. Without any commitment, we cannot declare that we are loyal. That's a cheap loyalty that the world tells you. And we find that, I think, so often. Just look around you. If you don't like something, I'll just trade it in. That's what the world tells us. I don't like this person. I don't like my wife. I just get a trade in. Newer model. Newer model brings new problems, okay? By the way, no, I'm just joking. Ladies, forgive me. I don't like the church. Let's just find another one that suits my needs. And all of that. And that's just how we are being programmed continuously. But I found in the Bible that whenever a man of God was whenever he was loyal unto God, he was committed unto God. But more than that, commitment itself is also such a relative term. It's so heavy. Let's look further. And I found another common denominator in the Bible in all of these relationships with all of these men that were so much loyal or so-called committed. That there's one thing apart from those two. In every case where we see them as being loyal, or they were outstanding men and women of God, committed unto God, they brought something to the table called the contribution. Here's the thing. I cannot say I'm committed to my wife, but I don't contribute to that relationship. Financially speaking, amen, guys, where are you? Come on. It will cost you. It will cost you. I'm joking now, okay? But it will cost you anyway. No. Count the cost. That's what Jesus said. Count the cost. Because when you say I do, it will cost you. No, any relationship, there's something that we have to contribute. You cannot be loyal unless you are committed. And we express our loyalty through our commitment. We express our commitment through our contribution. Are you still on the same page? Is it still biblical for you? Do you still agree with me? I'm not deviating from Scripture, okay? But just to get back to Scripture and actually read Scripture, not just talk about that, let's just read from Genesis 4. But before we go there, I've got two friends. You probably wondered who they are this morning. I'll introduce you to them just quickly. I got them in here to help me preach here this morning. They're not part of the band members. They're part of the preaching team here this morning. And I flew them in all the way from, almost said Egypt, from Canaan. Genesis 4, I've got my brothers Cain and Abel here with you. I want you to guess which one is Cain and which one is Abel. Dieter? Abel. Why would you say this is Abel? He's a farmer, but Cain was a farmer as well. I know, it's funny how people, but it's true. It's supposed to be Abel there, but everybody makes the connection. I don't know, unless you thought Abel is the cool one with his sunglasses. But for the sake of this argument, for the sake of the sermon and the illustration, I introduce you to Brother Cain. Saki, say hello to Cain. Hello, Cain. Thank you. Hello, Saki. And my brother Abel. Give him a high five. Pandu, huh? High five, yes. Hello. Right. Let's depart from Genesis 4 this morning, verse 1. And I just want to share with you a couple of thoughts about these men of God, or these two men, first offspring of mankind, and their contribution. Because we're going to talk a little bit about our contribution, to examine that for a moment, and ask ourselves a couple of questions. Genesis 4, now Adam had Adam had sexual relations with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant. When she gave birth to Cain, she said, "With the Lord's help, I have produced a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother and named him Abel. When they grew up, Abel became a shepherd, while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. Let's just read verse 3 and 4 again. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought the gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift. You know, when you've probably read this a thousand times, and there's so many discussions, theological discussions about why did the Lord accept Cain's offering, and there's so many interpretations of that. For me, I'll just keep it straightforward. Lucky enough, my Bible, this translation made it easy for me, but you can read different translations. But this one just stipulates, it's so beautiful, in verse 3 and 4. And if I have to translate it in the Van Rooyen translation this morning, help me here this morning, in the 2017 translation. Basically what happened here is, Cain said to the Lord, Lord, here is some. Here is some. And Abel said to the Lord, Lord, here's my best. Just that easy. Or simple. But with that being said, that brings us to a massive question in Christianity, and we're going to get to that in a while. It leads us to a question that will forever divide humanity. It will divide Christianity. It will be the question that will probably, if you answer that correctly or you follow it the right way, it will change the course of your direction, the way you relate to God, the way you see Him, and the way you give Him, and all of that. It's possible here this morning, I want you to see that we can sit under this roof, all wearing the same badge called Christians, but there's a dividing line amongst us with this question haunting us. You see, before we share on that question, before I give that to you, let me just share a couple of other thoughts about Cain and Abel. It's interesting when we read the Bible, and those of the people that study that and will know that the way it works in the Bible is that whenever something is introduced for the first time, that kind of becomes the prototype. It's a guideline for us to interpret the rest of the Bible according to that. The same with the numbers and a lot of other stuff in the Bible. Very interesting. But when Cain and Abel, it's not by chance that we have Cain and Abel, the two men being introduced to us this morning or in the Bible as Cain and Abel. They represent something more than just the name Cain and Abel, and actually their names mean something. We're going to come to that in a moment. But if you read New Testament, you study Scripture, and I'm just going to save you a lot of time. I'm going to give it to you. They become the prototype of the spiritual and the natural, the carnal and the spiritual. With that being said, they are two brothers from the same family, yet there's a dividing line because they are the type of the carnal and the spiritual. I'm going to say that again. It's possible to be in the same house and act carnal or live according to the Spirit. We have three groups this morning, possibly under this roof, possibly in the church and out there in the world. The group of people that say, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. Don't give me any of that stuff. Don't give me any of that religion. The other day, I had a sad case. I went to pray with somebody. The person just said to me, no, I don't want Jesus. A day or two later, he died. And I don't know what happened in between, but from what I could see, from what I could experience, he rejected him. I don't know if that something happened. So that's a choice a person makes, and it's sad. We all know we can manipulate that. Sometimes I wish I could, just for the sake of that person, because you see that. When it gets closer to you, when it's your family, we all know there are people in our lives that we would love to see in the kingdom of God. And all we can do is to continue to pray for them. But then there are those of us this morning will probably say to one another, we love Jesus. Or let's say, I believe. Because this is the thing in our culture, in the Afrikaans culture, often as well, we see people that, a lot of people, they generalize and say, well, I believe as well. I believe, man. I believe in God. But you just saying to me you believe doesn't mean a lot to me, because within that, there's also a dividing line. I've found that within the amount of people that say believe they are believing in God, there are amount of people that live carnal lives as carnal Christians, And then you have those that are willing to go that extra length and say, God, I want to live according to the Spirit. And Cain and Abel becomes that type of prototype this morning for us to measure our lives against that and ask ourselves the question, am I living a life as a carnal Christian with those desires and those aspirations and things, or am I living according to the Spirit? Because there's more about that. Cain is the man of earthly desire. Not just did he bring stuff from the ground, but he's the man symbolizing to us the earthly desire going after cities. You'll notice that if you read the rest of that scripture, that after the Lord almost dejected him, or he felt dejected, and the Lord spoke to him and he murdered his brother, that he went out of the presence of the Lord, started to find himself busy building cities. It's possible this morning to sit under the same roof, wear the same family name, but still busy building cities, while we are called to build the kingdom of God. Our minds, our energy, our time, all of that can be so focused on building the cities of this world and the earthly desires. And as long as it's symbolizing something here to us, he's talking to us. Abel and Cain's name, the other thing about it, Cain's name means possession. Talking about the earth, talking about this life. If I can just gather, if I can just have more. That's what this world tells us and motivates us. If I can just gather more, if I can just work harder so that I can gather more, so that my life can become more comfortable and all of that. And where's the line that you would draw normally? I've not heard a rich man saying to me, now I have enough money. I'm yet to hear a rich man, not a poor man, the rest of us, we'll be on this side, okay? But I've yet to hear a rich man say to me, I've got enough money, now I can just sit back. You might enjoy that, it's fine, but it's an yearning, it's this race we're running, just more. And Cain speaks to us this morning of that kind of, even Christian, I want to say, carnal Christian that runs after cities and finds himself busy with brass and things of the world. While Abel, that speak to us this morning according to his name, that means vapor, are things that's higher, that's ascending on higher to things that's beyond this world. He speaks to us this morning till this day. Cain goes out of the presence of God while Abel seeking for more, and he finds a better resurrection while he finds his rest in God, and he dies eventually and he gets to a better place, I want to say. Find a better place. And we have two contrasts here ministering to us this morning. The Cains of this world and the Abels. Because both of them, and here's the thing, people. Apart from the fact that there are so many differences in these two brothers with the same family, in the same family, and we are also like that this morning. We all have the same father, just a different mother. Always your brother from another mother. Say that to your brother next to you. You are a brother from another mother. Huh? You're my brother from another mother. That's what you are to me. That's the beauty about the Christian, about our family. But we're brothers from another mother, but one father this morning. And he speaks to us, and he draws a dividing line this morning in our midst and asking ourselves a couple of questions. Which side am I? Where am I busy diverting my energy, my time, my focus? But not just the contrast this morning. There's something that's so unique to both of them that was, I want to say, something they had in common. There's one thing they had in common this morning. They both gave. They both gave something. People hear me this morning. We don't know those conversations. We don't know what Adam and Eve had to say when they sat down with their sons. But what we see in the Bible is that they brought something to the altar. Now, there's a lot of conversations. I read a lot of stuff about, but Adam probably told Cain what is the appropriate offering and all of that and sacrifice. But let's not go there. It can be speculation. There's a lot. The fact of the matter is, carnal or spiritual, they both knew they had to give. And that's where I get to the place of contribution. We can easily say this morning that both parties contributed. The only thing is, God didn't accept Cain's contribution. And as we at the beginning of this year, as we sit down here this morning, we need to ask ourselves a couple of questions. Why his offering or his contribution wasn't acceptable unto God. And that's what I want to share with you. So I'm playing with threes here this morning. And I thought about our contribution. Let's define that for a moment, because what would it ask of me? What would it ask me if we're talking about contribution? And the first thing I found normally when we say to one another, make a contribution, it will take some of your time. If you want to contribute to your marriage, guess what? You'll have to make time for that. You'll have to make a priority. If you want to see that your children grow up in the Lord, guess what? You'll have to create time for that. Say create time, because we all have just 12 hours. Wish I had 13. Don't you wish sometimes you have more hours of the day? All of us sometimes wish, oh Lord, can I just have 13? That guy seems to do it so much better than me, and I don't know where do they find time. All I can say to you, and it guides me till this day, whatever is important to you, you'll make time for that. You'll give priority to that. And by default, that's the truth as well. We find ourselves busy with stuff. It's taking up our time. We don't have time for other stuff. Re-examine your clock, your calendar. And you know what? Some other time, if you want to grow in your relationship with God, it will take time. You can't have a relationship. Any relationship, less time spending in that relationship is eventually the death of that relationship. I cannot claim I have a relationship with God, but there's no time on this clock for God. I cannot claim, I'm going to go a little bit deeper there, that I love Jesus, but I don't have time for his body, the church. People, that's a sermon on its own. I wish I could just spend time, more time there, but I'm not going to do that. So many of the believers out there, people that say they believe in Jesus, they don't want to do anything with the church in general. They just say, oh, the church are full of hypocrites. And welcome, my brother. It's another one. I'm one, and you are one as well. But anyway, we're all just messed up people that need Christ. But anyway, I didn't know there are such perfect people out there. The only problem is they're not in church. You know, all the perfect people are outside the church. Let's just put them there. That's the truth. The rest of us, we need Christ. That's why we sit here this morning. And eventually, somebody, if you stay long enough in the church, somebody will rub you up and just get you into a corner and say, come on, just help us a little bit. Can't we just take some of your time? Just give us some of your time. But that's not just the only one. That's still okay. It gets worse, people. It gets worse. Contribution takes you further than that. There's more to ask. Oh, this is the expensive one. I am not talking about money this morning. I'm talking about the contribution. Any relationship, and all the men, and I'm going down that lane again, will say amen. You know, when you get into the relationship, suddenly you have to buy roses, and she wants that. And yeah, that's part of the thing, man. Make peace with that. It's going to cost you forever, okay? But it's happy. I love paying that because I love her. I don't mind because I love her. I love giving because I love him. I don't mind giving because I love him. You don't take out the $100. Oh, I have to buy flowers for my wife again. She's so spoiled. I don't want to earn all of that. If you give with that kind of heart, I don't know if you love her. Seriously. We give. Well, it costs. But you know what? I love you so much. We'll make a plan. And if you've been in church long enough, somebody's going to talk about money some other time. This morning it's my chance. So I'll get a couple of emails afterwards, but that's fine. It's just me. I'm just joking. I've never had that. I'm just joking. But it will take something of that just to determine where your heart is. God knows that so well. And then the last one, we're playing with threes. I'll put it out here as your gifting. Something that all of us have. Whenever we come to God, into the family of God, we all of us in this room, we have something. None of us can sit here this morning and say, I've not got anything. God didn't give me anything. I sit here empty-handed. None of you can sit here. Some of us, we have more That doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is, each one of us has got something. The sad thing is, and if we can demonstrate it that way or illustrate, we have our gifting, so we come to church, me and my gifting. So we have a good time, we fellowship, and then I go, see you next week again. And we never open this box. If I, let me put it out this, put it out here this morning. Let's just talk about the people, that's family. If you're in this church and this is your house and this is your family, maybe you're somewhere else, that's fine, you can answer the question for yourself. If I have to ask you, why are you here this morning? What has God placed in you specifically that you need to give that would bless me or that bless somebody else? Can you answer that question? The same question almost I asked a couple of weeks ago. God asked Elijah, Elijah, what are you busy with? Just reevaluate your stuff. Are you still operating according to your gifting, according to what I've placed inside of you? That uniqueness. You know, the beauty about that all is that we sometimes even don't know the fullness of our gifting. We've got such a kind of idea and a desire, and then we want to wait till the full picture unveils itself. But I found that it doesn't happen. God wants me to take that step in faith, and as I take that step in faith, I discover more about that gifting that I never knew. That's the beauty. But, you know, with fear and with uncertainty, I just take that step because I'm so afraid I make a mistake sometimes, or, God, I move in my own strength. But with that, I want to say to you, God is blessing that, because we know that we have to rely upon Him whenever we open that box. And you can do it for your own step, but the fact of the matter is all of us has got something to give, and that's our contribution this morning. So let's just quickly, not long, I promise you, look at three things that was different, that distinguished Abel's contribution from Cain's, and why God accepted Abel's contribution. Genesis 4 verse 4 says, Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift. It says it so clearly there. Whatever Abel gave, whenever he gave it to God, he didn't give God some. He gave God something called the first fruit. People study the Old Testament. There's something more about the first fruit. It's more than just giving God some. Let me use this one for example, because it's easy to illustrate that. And I'll use myself as an example, just so that you don't say I'm pointing at you. And I can speak from my own experience, where I had to rely upon God. It's easy to say to God, here's some, when there's still a lot left at the back there. And you want to satisfy God and say, God, at least I gave something. The church should just be thankful, and wherever you gave to, you should just be thankful because I gave some. But it's a difficult and it's a different scenario in first fruit when you give God his first, the first fruit, whatever is due to him according to scripture, and let's not just interpret that for a moment. But let's share from my own life. There are times in my walk with Christ that I had to give my first fruit, that when I make the calculations and I'm going to press the button on that EFT, the transfer knows I'm in trouble after that. And I'm not saying to you, go and do mad stuff out there. I'm just saying, I just wanted to obey God and do what I was called to do and what I see He's asking me to do. So I knew if I press that button and I give my tithe, I don't have enough left. And this is where faith comes in. Suddenly, I have to rely upon Him now. Now I'm not in a comfortable zone anymore. Can I say to you, till this day, not once, not many times I've paid this, not knowing where the rest is going to come from. But not once I had to go in debt to pay this. And I'm not preaching that type of message this morning. Go and make debt so you can pay to the church and all that. You hear all those kinds. I'm just saying, just be obedient to God and trust Him. And the only way I can say that is because I walked there, and everybody that's probably walking this journey with me here this morning will know. And probably later on this year we'll share about that. I heard the other day a teaching, it's so beautiful being said. We know, I'm giving you my sermon that I was planning to preach in 6 months, but I'll give you this now. sometimes this $100, let's just say, we know I need to get from A to Z. Okay? I need to get from A to Z. If I give this $100, I will only be able to get from A to D. If I don't give it, I will probably, according to man, according to my calculations, I'll be able to get to Z. But here's the faith thing. The moment I give, it's only God that can take me to Z. Through faith and through His provision, and I still don't know how and why and all of that until this day. And there we've got missionaries, we've got people all over this audience that will probably testify the same this morning. Let's say, you know, whenever you obey God, He's got you covered. And this is just money I'm talking about. People, the same with time. The other day, I sat down with my wife at the beginning of this year. We took one of those year planners and said, let's just plot down the important dates, kingdom dates. That's non-negotiable for us. Now you might think I'm the pastor. It's expected of you to do that. I've done that before that. And I plotted down all those important dates and said, God, these are your dates. Now I'll plan my life around those dates. Not, okay, God, this is an open weekend. Maybe you can have that. There's $100 left. Or do I serve Him or orchestrate my life around Captain Hendrik Witbooi? Or is it around the King of Kings? Because this has got no value. And come on. $100 here and $100 in the US and $100 in Zimbabwe, and we can think, it's got a relative term, man. It's nothing. What has that got to do with? It's just got value for us because we assign the value to that. But for God, $100 is $100. And anyway, let's move on. You see, Abel gave to God his first fruit. I don't want to challenge you this morning that you re-examine your giving, not just money. Maybe your time. Am I still giving God my best? The best portion of my day. We all know which parts, where we are the best at. I can't give God the last portion of my day because I'm wasted by the end of the day. So I have to give Him the best in the first part of my day because that's when my concentration is at its best. That's when nothing else has clogged my mind and I'm still fresh. But it works differently for people. What is your best that you would give God this morning that Abel gave God? Hebrews 11 verse 4, apart from the fact that it was a sacrifice, that Abel gave God his best, that it costed him something, there's something more. And we find that in Hebrews 11 verse 4, if you quickly jump with me to that scripture, it says, it was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. People, what is the difference this morning between faith or the opposite of faith? It's sight. When we give according to sight, when we give according to human intuition, when we give according to how we feel, and that's what Cain did. Cain didn't bring an offering according to scripture here through faith. He brought an offering according to what he thought is an acceptable offering for God. And surely it was a beautiful offering. Surely it was something that he worked hard to produce that. And he toiled and he's in the sun and a lot of that. But it was according to what Cain thought is the right offering. Sometimes we give to God according to what we think is a nice offering. That's not what I see here. Abel brought according to faith. And he knew that whenever he's going to give that, it will cost him something. And faith this morning, people, it's not just, let me put it out there, it's not just a confident expectation. Faith is more than that. If we read Romans, faith is to hear the word of God, to believe in it, and to do that, according to James. Let's just break it down as easy as that. Faith is to hear, to believe, and to actually do. In other words, what am I saying to you? There's a Chinese philosopher that once said, to hear and not to do is not to hear. And the same with Christianity. To say you believe and not do is actually not to believe. And if I say I give according to faith, it actually means I have to hear from God and walk in obedience according to that. That is when we start moving in faith. And sometimes what we hear from God is overwhelming. I hope it overwhelms you because then you know. this must be from God, because now I'm in, almost want to say, trouble. The moment we give in ourselves, we operate in sight. And then last one, 1 John 3, verse 12. 1 John 3, verse 12. We must not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because Cain had been doing what was evil and his brother had been doing what was righteous. People, I believe that Cain gave out of a pure heart. Abel gave out of a pure heart. Where he knew his intentions were the right, he gave with the right intention. You know, when you read that scripture, you can read more about that when the Lord confronted Cain. He confronted Cain and said, Cain, what are you busy with? What's happening here? What evil is lying there? Careful of that. I believe there was a time of grace for Cain for a moment. But Cain left the Lord and he did a lot of bad stuff. He killed his brother. And what am I trying to say to you? Let's just make a statement and then we'll end there. Freddie, can I have you guys here? Whenever we talk about contribution this morning, whatever God is asking of you this at the beginning of this year to contribute to your family or to this family or wherever God has planted you or placed you, you don't give because it's a nice thing to do. We don't give this morning because leadership or the church expects us to give. We don't give this morning or contribute this morning because I don't have anything else to do and I just want to ease my conscience and I don't feel guilty about anything. I don't give for that reason. The only reason why we give this morning or we're called to give is out of obedience to Him. That's all. It's not so that I can feel good. Sometimes we do feel good, but that's a flesh that's still alive there and let's just leave that aside there. We don't give for those reasons. You don't give because I've got the sermon this morning or preaching a sermon on it. Please don't give for that reason. I'm bad at that stuff. I cannot convince you that such a long time. You probably give this morning and then tomorrow morning it will be gone. That's the thing with a sermon. Just lasts you a short while. You'll have to come back next week again. Sure. You have to give this morning or contribute wherever God has placed you because He's called you and you want to obey that. That's all it is. Cain and Abel were both contributors. Make sure you check your contribution. Give with faith. Give with a pure heart this morning. And give, if I may ask, your best unto God. Amen.